Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. My name is Lucas Tanner, and I am the campus minister for a ministry called Reformed University Fellowship. You heard me say RUF in my prayer. That's what RUF stands for, Reformed University Fellowship. It is the official university campus ministry of our denomination, the denomination of this church, which is the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America. So a lot of acronyms in there. But I've been at Florida Gulf Coast University, which is in Fort Myers, and I've been there for almost 8 years now, which it's hard to believe. Sometimes we look at pictures of the kids in the house, and I can't believe the kids were that young in our house. They'll come up in our timeline. You know, you have a memory from 7 years ago, and I think, how were our kids ever that small in this house? And so we've been there for almost 8 years, and it was a new work when we started. So we are now almost 8 years into this thing, and it has changed a lot. It's grown a lot. God's been good to us. RUF, what we're trying to do on campus is we're trying to reach students for Christ and equip students to serve in the church for a lifetime, and that's what we're about. So we want them to have a great college experience. We want them to make Christian friends. We want them to grow in their faith while they're college students. We want them to maybe even meet their future spouse, but that's not what we're about. We're about building and strengthening the church of Jesus Christ, because that's what God is doing in the world. As he draws people to himself, he's drawing people to his body, to the church. And so we will measure our success as we think about what does life look like for these students 10, 15, 20 years from now? Are these students, and wherever they're living, whether it's still in Southwest Florida or whether they've moved around the country or the world, wherever they're at, wherever God has them, are they active and involved members of local Bible-believing churches in those cities and towns that God has taken them to? Are they walking with the Lord? Are they flourishing in the church, in God's community? Are they serving as nursery workers and Sunday school teachers and children's ministry people and deacons and elders and pastors and missionaries? And so that's what we want to do. We want to build the church. So I'll give you an update. I do want to kind of have some time for questions, maybe not just at the end, but even throughout this thing. I don't have a script, and so you're not interrupting by just raising your hand and asking me a question. Okay, so don't feel like you. If a question comes to mind, actually, I would prefer you just to ask it right on the spot. And because a Sunday school hour is a long time to fill, so I could give this update in 15 minutes. So we got time. We got time to fill. So if you think of a question at any point, just raise your hand, okay? You will not interrupt, all right? Any questions before I proceed?
I have just a quick question.
Great.
I know that it's so important to get these young people involved in local church. One of the people that come to mind is Christine McWright, who you were able to work in and through, and now how's she doing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so let me give you a little update on Christina, and then, So Christina McWhite is, she's a former student of ours. She graduated from FGCU, and she is now serving as an RUF intern. So within Reformed University Fellowship, we have an intern program where recent college graduates spend two or three years on a campus, working full time in the ministry alongside the campus minister, and so in that sense, it's a job, it's a full time job, But also it's another step in their own development process. So they're not just doing ministry, but they also have a study program that they're working through that's helping them think biblically about what they're doing, and helping to equip them. Again, just another step in that equipping them for a lifetime of ministry. Some of those interns go on to serve in local churches as staff people, or they go on to seminary and get ordained. Some of them go to the mission field. So Christina graduated from FGCU, and actually I think I brought her in April. Okay. I know she's been here, and you all have been really encouraging to her, and she is now serving at Winston-Salem State University in North Carolina. It's a historically black university in North Carolina, and she is doing phenomenal. She was my number one concern for Christina was finances, because she's just dynamite. I mean, if you were here when I brought her, she's just really dynamic. She's got a gift. She's a great leader. She led our music team, but she also led small group Bible studies for us. And she just really, we're even seeing now with some of the girls, some fruit of her work, sort of like her, almost like her spiritual grandchildren now. And so I see for Christina, I really, after her internship is up, I'd love to see her transition to full-time campus staff, which is a permanent role within RUF. And then long-term, I'd love to see her serve in a church as like a women's ministry coordinator or something like that. But God has definitely gifted her for ministry. And so, but she's doing great. And again, like I said, my number one concern for her was finances. But the Lord provides. The challenge for Christina is she wasn't raised PCA, and so she's not, you know, a lot of these interns that were raised PCA and they're going to go do the RUF internship, which is a PCA ministry, they don't have a problem getting churches to rally around them or their home church that they grew. Yeah, and so, or they come from a family, you know, I meet a lot of campus ministers who, I did the internship and, you know, my dad's a neurosurgeon and my mom's an attorney, and, you know, well, of course you didn't have any problem raising funds, but Christina, she doesn't come from a family of means, and so because of that, and then because of not growing up in the PCA, I knew it would be a challenge, and it has been a challenge, but our churches and our presbytery have stepped up, friends of RUF at FGCU have stepped up, and God has provided in such a way that she was able to get to the 85% threshold that you need to get to campus. She was able to get that before the start of the school year and get to campus. So she's there, she's funded, and she's doing great. The ministry is really growing compared to last year. And, you know, the only difference is she's there. So I know the campus minister is really, really thankful that he got her. So, thanks for asking about Christina. I do keep in contact with Christina and with others. We have another student who's an intern at Howard University in Washington, D.C., another historically black university. He called me just a couple weeks ago. He was having a one-on-one and led a Howard student to Christ. And so he wanted to call and tell me that he led his first Howard student to Christ. And so that was a pretty exciting moment for him. But I keep in contact with students that are not in RUF anymore. Usually the students that I keep most in contact with are the ones that were sort of our core group or part of our leadership team. And those students are doing well. We've got three of our former students that are now living over on the East Coast and are attending the church I was at before I came here, which is Park Road Presbyterian Church. And so that's been kind of cool, is to have a few of our former students connecting with a church that I love so much. And so getting able, during Ian, we went to the East Coast to stay with my wife's parents. And so we were able to worship there on Sunday and see some of those students. And so it's just beautiful to see that. And one of the girls, her name is Vanna. She graduated three years ago. And while she was in RUF at FGCU, she wasn't raised in the PCA, and her parents weren't going to church. But she started coming to RUF, and then her parents, because of what God was doing in Vanna's life, her parents started wanting to go to a church, and she recommended our Park Road PCA in Hollywood, and they started attending, her parents, and then joined the church, became members of the church. So that was a really cool ministry that we're able to even reach her parents, we didn't intend to, but God did, and so in that way. So yeah, I keep in contact with students from time to time. Just a few weeks ago, I got on a Zoom call with a couple former students, one living in Gainesville and the other one living in Illinois, and they just wanted to get on a FaceTime call to hang out and chat and give me a life update. So that was really cool to see that. And yeah, students will, I've done weddings of former students. And so I usually keep in touch with, again, not every student that's come into RUF, that's just far too many, but really core students. Yeah, so just this school, I mean, it's at this point, we've had over 100 students coming to RUF. Now, that's not every week. We might have 60 students coming in attendance on a Tuesday night, or 40 involved in small groups. But in and out, about 100 students coming in and out of RUF.
Where are you meeting?
We meet on campus. We meet, our large group meets in an academic building that's got a larger classroom that we're able to meet in. And then our small groups meet in dorms. Some meet in students' dorms, and some of the small groups meet in other sort of conference room areas. But we try to do most things on campus. It is a campus ministry, and there are some other campus ministries that are affiliated with area churches, and so they have their main meetings off campus, but we try to keep things on campus as much as possible for students, again, because it is a campus ministry. So.
I saw that the presidency was changing.
Yes.
Is that going to have any effect on what you're doing? Or?
It could. Could.
Do they have an effect on you?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm glad you noticed that and you thought of the effect on campus ministries, because it certainly does. The administration's position and policy, which usually flows top down, does affect how the university relates to campus ministry. So it could affect us.
We don't know.
So you can certainly be in prayer for us, but that is something of concern. And when they announced the top three candidates, I was reading their cover letters and bios, looking for some indication. The number two person, the provost, he's sort of the number two guy on the totem pole at FGCU. He is a Bible-believing evangelical Christian. And so that's been a huge blessing for us. Now, with the president, I don't know. So we have had historically at FGCU, the administration has seen campus ministry really as helpful partners. They have historically recognized that students do much better in school if they're involved in campus ministries statistically. And so for them, they've had concerns through the years of dropout rates. And so they're happy to see students get involved in campus ministries because they tend to do better in school and not drop out. But also they have historically understood that students are more than just a brain, that they want to help students to do well in many areas of life, and one of those areas is spiritually, and they can't do anything to help students thrive spiritually, and so they've seen us as helpful partners in that area. So, unlike other universities around the country, we have been able to do what we've wanted to do. Campus ministries, not just RUF, but even other campus ministries and long before, that were there long before RUF. And so we've had a good relationship with past administrations. We can only pray that that will continue in the future. But it is a concern. And so if you think of it, pray for us. All right, any other questions before I move on? Okay. So I'm just trying to think, we were here in April, what has happened since April besides Ian? And a lot of ministry has taken place. We had our first summer conference that we've had in 2 years. So there were 2 years in a row where there was no summer conference. Because of COVID and because of having all those students in such a tight space, it just wasn't possible. And so we did go back to summer conference this summer. We did have a COVID outbreak during summer conference, so it was canceled for 2 summers because of COVID, and then we came back, and by the end of the week, like 90% of the conference had COVID. So... But you knew it was coming, you know. It was funny as the week progressed, just like students just, you know, dropping. And at some point in the week, you just go, you can't stop it. You can't do anything about it. So, but we did go back. And the concern for our group was we didn't have any students, because it was canceled 2 summers in a row, we didn't have any students who had ever gone before. So summer conference is when campus ministries from around the country get together for a week, right at the beginning of the summer, right after finals, and spend a week together in Panama City Beach at the Laguna Beach Christian Retreat Center. And it can accommodate about 1,000 college students, and so there's 4 weeks over the summer when groups come. And... it's a great time for a number of reasons. It's really good because it helps our students to see that, like, oh, there's other RUFs. It's around the country. It's around the world. You know, this is bigger than just our local little campus thing. They get excited about that. They get some really, really good teaching. They get exposed to really good music. They get exposed to a lot of hymns. We sing a lot of hymns in RUF. And so they get exposed to that, whereas in our campus ministry, we don't sing as many hymns just because we don't have kids coming from PCA churches. So we kind of have to ease them into the hymn thing at our campus ministry. But other campus ministries, you know, they might have 100 kids from PCA churches, and so they're used to singing these hymns. So we have to kind of ease that in. Well, they get a taste of that at summer conference, so they usually come back from that asking, hey, can we sing more hymns? And so it's good. It's good for them in that way. It really, they get a lot of seminars. They have a lot of electives that they can choose from. And so throughout the week, I think that's one of the things that students like the most is they get this long list of seminars of various topics. It can be a practical thing. It could be a seminar on human sexuality, or it could be something on theology. You know, it could be a seminar on Reformed theology. And so they get to choose those, and they get a really deep dive into that throughout the week. And so it's a great opportunity for our students. And it's really fun. The retreat center is right on the beach. And the water's blue. It's hard to believe that it's the same Gulf water, you know. We're, in Fort Myers, the water's brown. I mean, that's what the Gulf looks like when you go to the beach. It's not pretty. I grew up in Southwest Florida. It's just not pretty. But when you go up to the Panhandle, it's beautiful. It's blue. The sand is soft and white. And so it's just a great way to spend a week after final exams. But if a kid's never been before, how do you sell a beach kid on going to the beach for a week, you know? It's one thing if you're pitching it to students in Nebraska. But telling a kid, you know, from Southwest Florida, hey, you should spend $400 to go to the beach for a week, you know, and sing songs and study the Bible, it can be a hard sell. So I was worried that since we didn't have any students that had been before, it was going to be a hard sell. So our goal for the first year after COVID was to take 12 student leaders to summer conference. Well, we ended up taking 21. So I was worried, but God was good. We'll never have to sell this thing again. We have 21 spokesmen for it for summer conference next year.
My nephew did that when he was in college.
Oh.
Met his wife. Wonderful marriage they have.
They met at summer conference?
Well, they were working up at the Panama City.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
But they have the opportunity to get part-time jobs at some of the burger slingers around there or something because they could help support being there. And I wonder if that's still offered to people in any way they go up there to work.
Yeah, I don't know. The people, probably not. I mean, it might be for other ministries, but for us, we're only up there for a week at a time.
Okay. Yeah, they were there most of
the time. Yeah, and the people that are working are interns and campus ministers and campus staff, and so they have full-time jobs. And yeah, but that's a good question. So we took 21, and 20 of those, 20 of the 21 were all returning students. So there was only one senior who went. His name was Andrew. And so it's just great to have that many returning students have experienced that. Andrew, by the way, since I mentioned him, Andrew was a kid. He was in 4 years, in RUF for 4 years, which is rare at FGCU to have a student for 4 years. It does happen, but it's rare. I think I've told you this before. FGCU has a really low 4-year graduation rate. I don't know what it is as of the last year or two. But historically, it's been 23% of students graduate in 4 years. 46% of students graduate in 6 years. And so they just take a little longer to graduate. But about half of students at FGCU drop out or transfer. And that is because a lot of times they're the first kid in their family going to college. And many of them are working one or two jobs to help put themselves through school. And it's hard to do well in school when you're working a couple jobs. And so students drop out. Students also transfer. So they wanted to go to the University of Florida. Who wouldn't? Go Gators. But they, or FSU or UCF, but they couldn't get in. And so they go to the school, you know, that's less than an hour drive from their house. They do 2 years there, and then they can transfer to any school within the state, and they can go to that school they really wanted to go to. And so a lot of students transfer. And another sort of thing that I'm seeing more and more is students that are doing two, and this is smart, by the way, students that are doing 2 years at their local state college and then coming to FGCU to get their bachelor's degree saves a ton of money. I mean, I'm encouraging my own kids to do that. So a lot of these students are doing that, or they're dual enrolling when they're in high school. And so they dual enrolled at their local state college while they were in high school, and then they come as 18-year-olds with 2 years of college credits. And so they're 18-year-old juniors. And some of my best students are 18-year-old juniors. And so it's sad that I only get, for the most part, on average, I get students for about 2 years. So this whole discipleship plan, you know, is that window is really shortened. So we got to do a lot with them in a little amount of time. Andrew was one of those students who was with us for 4 years. And Andrew came, he grew up Catholic, and he was randomly assigned a roommate who invited him to RUF. And Andrew made it very clear when he came to RUF, I'm Catholic. And but he would come to RUF, so he came to RUF on Tuesday nights, and then Sundays he went to the Catholic student organization, had Mass on Sunday nights on campus. And so he would do both, and he's very clear he was a Catholic. Well, the roommate who invited him that was randomly assigned dropped out of school, as many students do. But Andrew kept coming to RUF. And at summer conference, I was sitting down with Andrew. We were just talking about that journey of his. And he said, remember how I used to be? And I said, oh, yeah, I remember how you used to be. He said, I am a totally different person than when I first came to college. He said, you know, when I first came to college, I thought I was a Christian, but I didn't know Jesus. But through RUF, I was born again, he said. And just beautiful to see how God worked in his life. And now Andrew lives back home in the Tampa area and is attending a PCA church in the Tampa area. But just to kind of, as I mentioned, Andrew just made me think of how God worked in his life, sort of a slow plodding. You know, there wasn't any moment where, you know, Andrew sort of had this Saul on the road to Damascus experience. It was a slow plodding, investigating, asking questions, and God was slowly chipping away and opening his eyes. So, Andrew. That sort of summer conference kicks off, it marks the end of the school year, and then it kicks off the summer. Over the summer, we do a lot of freshman orientation tabling, and some campuses, particularly at these SEC schools like Auburn or Mississippi State or Ole Miss, those RUF campus ministries, I'm not complaining, but those campus ministers sometimes get a list of 200 contacts from PCA kids come into their campus. If I got a contact list, it would be like one or two PCA kids ever, you know, a year come to FGCU. So we can't rely on that. We have to go out and meet students. And our very first attempt to make contact with students is at these freshman orientations over the summer. So they bring students in by groups over the summer. If they're gonna be enrolling in August, then they have to come at some point in May, June, or July for orientation. And they spend 2 days on campus. They come with their parents. They spend the night in the dorms. They spend 2 full days going through seminars. They pick a major. They register for classes. They learn rules and code of conduct and all that stuff. Well, one of the days, there's a breakout session, and we have, this year, the campus ministries together got a breakout session, so they have an option to come and hear about how to grow in their faith in college, and they can get exposed to campus ministries that way. And then the second day of the two-day orientation, there is it's kind of like a club fair, but they come into the ballroom, and there's tables from various organizations, campus organizations. So there's a table for like financial aid, and there's a table for the Dirty Birds, which is our athletic fan club. Woohoo! But then we have a table. RUF has a table, and so they come in groups of, you know, anywhere from 20 to 50 students at a time. They walk through the ballroom for about 15 minutes, and you stand out there in front of your table and you try to talk to students, and you got about a minute to give them your elevator speech, you know, and tell them about RUF and give them some brochures. And if they're interested, you kind of try to get their phone number or email address and kind of get some contact information from them. So that's the first thing that we do to try to get contact with students. And, you know, we don't have a lot of PCA kids, but one or two come into the school every year. And RUF is not a recognizable name. It's not like Young Life, you know. Everybody knows about Young Life. So they come, they say, oh, I had Young Life at my high school. Nobody has an RUF at their high school. So they think, the first thing they say is, what's RUF? And so we get about anywhere from 150 to 250 contacts from orientation week after week over the summer. I wish 150 or 250 of those contacts would pan out and show up to RUF. It works out to be about 10%. That's about how many of those contacts actually turn over to the student will text you back or call you back or email you back and will actually come to some RUF event. So it's a lot of work for about 10%, but we start the year off already, the school year off, with 15 to 25 contacts that we didn't have going into the year. So that's a lot of what we do over the summer. Historically, I've done that myself, my family. The first 3 years, it was me, my wife, and my kids at the table. And the kids were always a draw because they were cute and they did silly things. Now they're older. They're not cute anymore. I can't take them with me. They don't draw anybody at the table. So fortunately, now I have students helping me. And this was the first summer that I had students at the RUF table every week. And the reason that's a big deal for me is because this ministry is becoming more and more a ministry to students through students, not just to students through the 40-year-old campus minister, but to students through students. And so that tells me that our core group of our students are really buying in. They see the value of this ministry. And they want to think about reaching more students, right? Reaching their campus for Christ. And so that was really encouraging to me. I mean, we had a kid, Sean, that drove down from Jacksonville this summer. Those students that helped, only a few of them were taking classes over the summer. The others figured out in their schedule, when can I drive to Fort Myers to help table at the RUF table? And like I said, Sean drove down from Jacksonville just to help at the RUF table 2 days that week. So that was, yeah, Mary.
Do you have access, or do they allow groups to have access to like a campus-wide email list? Like if you're going to have a barbecue or you're going to have that one big event for August, are you allowed to tap into that and send 2,000 emails?
No. I wish. Now, in my I do have a university email address, and I can. It does suggest, like, if I start typing in a name, it will suggest an email address from the university system. But there's no way for me to like send a mass email to the university system. So we try to use the university's. They have a system for events, and you can publish your events on there. And we use that. It's not very good. I mean, nobody, you know, it's great if students actually went and looked at it or downloaded the app on their phone, and you know, but they don't. And that's the problem, is how do you get these students to actually use this stuff? But yeah, if you go to the university's, it's called Eagle Link. If you go in and log on there, you can see all the events that are happening. Our events are on there, and so students have access to that as much as they do anything else, but they just don't use it. So the most effective thing, if I can get a student's phone number, that's the best bet. Emails are just, they're not going to read the email. And the truth is, This year, more than ever, I've been ghosted. I've been ignored on text and phone calls more than ever before. And so, which just tells me students, their phones are now becoming like their emails, where they're just getting inundated with text messages. I mean, you've all gotten it, right, in the past couple weeks with the, like, Herschel Walker is texting me every day. Like, I can't even vote for you, buddy. I live in Florida. You're in Georgia. Why are you texting me every day? So, you know, you're getting constant texts, right? And so things are just getting ignored, and that's what's happening more and more. So, you know, that, I don't know, you just do what you can and pray and, you know, and hope for the best. So, okay, I told you about Christina. I told you about Jason. Oh, this summer, there's training over the summer, and that's where all the staff and interns get together for a week in the middle of July for a week of staff training. And I had the opportunity to see Christina there and Jason and take them out to dinner and just tell them I'm proud of them and pray for them. And Jason's in his second year of the internship at Howard, and his plan is to go to seminary after the internship is over, and so he'll have a lot of opportunities to do that. I also got to connect with a guy named Ethan Brown. Ethan is now the campus minister, ordained campus minister at the University of Illinois, starting the work there. He's in his second year. But Ethan was in my youth group at Park Road Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, and so I had him from 6th grade to 12th grade, and now he's my colleague in RUF, and so it was cool to be able to connect with him. All right, school, we're in the midst of it. We are just past the halfway point in the semester. That was a couple weeks ago. We have our large group meets on Tuesday nights. And we get together, we gather for singing and for, we call it worship in a Bible study. It's really a sermon. So we gather, we get together, we sing, and then I'll preach a sermon. And I've been preaching this semester through the book of Revelation, and so you'll get to hear this morning some of the fruit of my studies in the book of Revelation, because that's what I'll be preaching on from this morning. We've got 7 student-led small group Bible studies that happen throughout the week. So we meet, large group meets on Tuesday nights, and then every other day of the week, except for Saturday, has a small group Bible study going on. And like I said, there's 7 student-led studies. So this is the most Bible studies we've ever been able to offer in a given semester, and definitely the most student-led studies. As a matter of fact, this is the first semester in my time at RUF that I'm not leading a small group Bible study. And the reason is we don't need an 8th one. So I'm not leading a small group Bible study this semester, but we've got students doing that. We've got one group that's a co-ed study, guys and girls, that's going through Esther and Ruth. There's another study. It's a girls' study that's going through a book that recently came out by our publishing house called A Still and Quiet Mind. It's about how to apply the Bible to anxious thoughts or intrusive thoughts. And so not all of our small group studies are Bible studies. Some of them can be book studies. There's a group that's studying, that's going through the Apostles' Creed together. There's a group that's going through C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. There's a study of Ephesians and a study of James. So those are all our studies. And I've seen God at work in those small group leaders. So one of our girls, her name's Trinity, and she's leading the Mere Christianity study. And it's been neat to see how God has worked in Trinity's life. When she came to RUF, she would have considered herself a Christian, but her understanding of Christianity was the sort of like classic American prosperity gospel kind of, like that's the only church that she ever attended growing up, which was very sparse, but that was her understanding of Christianity, was that sort of prosperity gospel. But through over a few years, God has really chipped away, and now she's attending a PCA church. She is solidly reformed. She, of course, is a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, and now she's leading a study as she ends her college career. So it's kind of neat to see how God has worked in her life. Another guy, Nick. Nick came to RUF, and I met him at orientation. I told you about that freshman orientation. I met him at freshman orientation, and Nick, I used to call him Mr. Knitknots because my kids watched this show when they were little on the Disney Channel called Imagination Movers, and there was a character on the show called Mr. Knitknots, and Mr. Knitknots was the most boring guy ever. That was his character. He wore a beige shirt. He wore beige pants, a beige belt. His office was beige. Everything was beige, and he was really boring. I'm just looking around making sure. Okay, nobody's wearing all beige. But that was Nick. Nick was just quiet and shy, and just, I met him, and he had an army green shirt on and army green pants on. It was all the same color, you know, and he was just super quiet and introverted and shy, and now he's our president, he's leading this study, and it's amazing. He's just blossomed in his time at the university, so it's just delightful to see that some of these people, just to think about when we first met, you know, what they were like and how God has moved in their life. And he joined Westminster. He joined a PCA church in our presbytery last year, and again, not raised in the PCA, not reformed when he came to RUF, but is now a member at Westminster Church in Fort Myers. And when he graduates this year, he wants to stay in Fort Myers. He wants to make a life in Fort Myers. So that's kind of cool. But yeah.
I just have a quick question. Do you mentor these Bible study leaders?
Yep.
I mean, how do you know when you feel like they're ready to take on, you know, leading a Bible?
Yeah, yeah. So they are more, think of them more as like facilitators. And that's what I try to help them understand is you're not teaching a Bible study. You're facilitating a Bible study or a book discussion or whatever. But I work closely with them. One avenue of our ministry is one-on-one discipleship. And so I spend one-on-one time with these seven students a lot, more than I spend with other students. And so we get together, and so through those conversations of kind of where they're at, like a student asked me last year if he could lead a study, and I told him no, just because of where he was at theologically, and I don't think you're ready to lead a Bible study. And sometimes I know students aren't ready, and I'll let them do it, because I think they'll learn from failure, and it'll help them to grow. So I don't always, you know, say no just because they're not ready or whatever. Sometimes I'll say no if I feel like a student is not solid biblically, then I would say no. But if it has to do more with other personality or other stuff, you know, I'll let them do it. And sometimes those Bible studies are 12 people, and sometimes they're 3, and we need room for both. So, but I work closely with them. And other students who will tell me, hey, I think, you know, I think Kaya would lead a really good Bible study. You should talk to her about it. So students will tell me, you know, if they have someone in their small group who's really showing some fruit and showing some potential to be a small group leader the next semester, the next school year, then we'll already start thinking about it. Usually a year out, or we're starting to identify who these students are going to be for next year. So, yeah. All right. That's a good spot to end. Are there any other questions? We were interrupted by, let me close on this. We were interrupted by Ian. I think we got five large groups in, five solid weeks in before Ian, and we've had 4 weeks since. School was closed for 10 days. I was really concerned that we would lose all our momentum, because that's what happened after Irma. Same deal. School was closed for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and it just crushed us momentum-wise. But praise God, that didn't happen. If anything, we had a boost in attendance for the 2 weeks after Ian. So I don't know if students were just itching to get back together or what, but we have not lost any momentum. So praise God for that. And you can pray for us as we finish the semester, that we'd finish it well. We'd have a strong ending. This is about the time when attendance starts to fluctuate. Students are getting, you know, exams are breathing down their necks. And so you can pray for us that we would finish well. All right, well, let me pray for you. Lord, I'm again thankful for this church that has come alongside our ministry on campus since the very beginning, that have prayed faithfully, that have given generously, that have encouraged. Lord, they encouraged my children. They sent my kids cards and from various people in the congregation. First time my kids have ever gotten a card like that. So thank you, Lord, for the way this congregation has not only loved our students, but the way that they love my own family. And I pray that you would encourage them in the same way that they've encouraged us. Lord, bless them. For those who are struggling through this time after Ian, would you be a comfort and a hope to this church and this community? In Jesus' name, amen.